state agency can now buy Claude at a discount, an Azure team can run Claude through Microsoft Foundry, and a platform customer is reportedly checking whether another model can do the same job for less. That is Monday's starting point. A new buying path, not a new capability claim. When a frontier model becomes procurement, what else becomes part of the product?
The invoice becomes part of it. The identity layer becomes part of it. The GPU allocation becomes part of it. And if you are the poor operator wiring this into a government workflow, the vendor's nice model card is maybe fifth on the list. Contract terms come first. After that, I'm looking at audit logs, data handling, and whether the pilot stays affordable.
Right. NVIDIA's post says Claude in Microsoft Foundry is now generally available on Azure, running on GB300 Blackwell Ultra systems. It also points to a secure agent workspace reference design. In that design, the infrastructure owns identity and network access. It also controls credentials and runtime policy. That is a different object from a chat model behind a web login.
And it makes the model feel less like a destination. It becomes a component you can route to through the channels your company already trusts, Foundry billing, Azure permissions, existing commitments, and hardware that someone else has already negotiated. I don't have a source for this next sentence, so mark it as operator inference. For many enterprises, that procurement path can beat a better benchmark.
That gets sharper with the California item. TechMeme's roundup points to Politico reporting that California struck a deal with Anthropic for Claude across state agencies and local governments at a 50% discount. The quoted state CIO says department switching usage to that contract is the intent. So the model isn't only technically available. It is being steered through one preferred public sector lane.
Which is why the Amazon counterpoint matters. The information report via TechMeme says Amazon is weighing OpenAI and its own Nova models after Anthropic raised prices for using Claude in Amazon products. I'd be cautious there because it is a reported negotiation, not a finished migration. But it tells you what every big customer is going to test. Can I swap the model without rewriting the product?
This differs from last week's access stories. We covered government gates and managed preview lists. Today is about distribution, billing, discounting, and substitution pressure. Claude is being pulled into Microsoft's cloud, California's procurement system, and Amazon's cost model all at once.
An operator hears this as a contract problem. Model loyalty is shallow unless the surrounding agreement is sticky. If the app only calls Claude because Claude is best this week, Amazon can shop around. If the app calls Claude because Azure procurement, internal approvals, logging, safety review, and support all point there, then Anthropic has a deeper moat than model quality alone.
So the first answer is that frontier access is becoming an institutional bundle. The product is no longer just the model. It is also the contract, the meter, the hardware allocation, and the audit surface that lets someone buy it without inventing a new institution first.
And the risk for anyone building on top is that your abstraction layer has to survive a price fight. You don't want model substitution to be a board meeting. You want it to be a tested route with known losses, known latency changes, and known eval differences.
The Supreme Court ruled Monday that broad cell phone location sweeps require constitutional privacy protection. TechMeme's roundup names the Chatry geofence case and points to the line that people have a reasonable expectation of privacy in cell phone location data.
That is law enforcement, not model training. We should keep that boundary bright. A geofence warrant is police asking a provider for everyone who was near a place. It isn't the same thing as an AI company training on user records.
Yes, and the adjacent story is why it belongs in the same episode. The Verge reports that Senator Elizabeth Warren and Representative Mary Gay Scanlon are preparing a revamped Health and Location Data Protection Act. The new version would reach health and location information people reveal to AI chatbot services, and it would restrict sales of that data to brokers.
That is the commercial channel the court case doesn't close. The court can say government needs a warrant for a broad sweep. Congress still has to decide what happens when a company has the same sensitive data because a user typed it into a health chatbot, uploaded records, or let an app collect location history.
The Verge's report says the bill would require the Federal Trade Commission to write rules within 180 days, and it would put $1 billion toward enforcement over 10 years. That number matters because privacy laws without enforcement budgets become polite suggestions in a market that knows how to keep selling data.
This is also where AI makes old privacy categories feel strained. If a person asks a chatbot about a symptom, is that health data? If they ask while traveling and the service logs location context, who owns the derived record? The operator answer can't be, trust us, it is in the policy. The system has to know which data classes can leave the product, which can't, and which require deletion or isolation.
And we should say plainly what we don't know. We don't have final bill text yet. We have the Verge's report on the planned proposal and the Supreme Court reporting around geofence warrants. So the stronger claim is that sensitive data markets are fixed. Courts and lawmakers are both naming location and health data as categories that need harder boundaries.
That affects product design tomorrow morning. If you build a chatbot around medical intake, you need a data map that survives legal review. Where is the raw conversation stored? Does it enter analytics? Does it train anything? Can support staff see it? Can a broker ever buy it? A vague privacy statement is going to age badly against that list.
South Korean companies committed more than $900 billion toward AI-related memory, packaging, and data center capacity, according to TechCrunch's report from Seoul. The same report breaks out $518 billion for four new memory fabs, $52 billion for a high-bandwidth memory packaging hub, and $356 billion for AI data centers through 2035.
I'd keep that claim narrow. Recent episodes already spent a lot of time on power, water, and data center fights. Today's fresh detail is memory. High bandwidth memory has become one of the places where AI demand touches a factory schedule. You can't NPM install a packaging hub.
TechCrunch also quotes South Korea's president saying the existing chip facilities around Yongin and Pyeongtaek have reached their limits and urging investment in the Southwest. That is a regional development story as much as an AI story. Power, water, workforce, and living conditions become part of semiconductor planning.
And then the data center transaction gives the U.S. side of the same constraint. TechMeme's Reuters item says Digital Realty plans to buy a majority stake in three fully leased Northern Virginia data centers from Blackstone-managed funds in a $7.8 billion deal. Fully leased is the phrase to underline gently. Buyers aren't only buying buildings. They are buying a place in the queue.
That pairs with the Forbes background item in the agenda. Big tech is less afraid of paying for AI power than of waiting for it. I wouldn't overbuild from one essay, but it matches the transactions. Memory capacity, leased facilities, and grid access are all slow assets. They move on construction time, not product launch time.
The builder consequence is latency by another name. If you can't get high bandwidth memory or can't get a data center slot, your model roadmap waits. Your enterprise customer might see that delay as product indecision, but underneath it is a supply chain with permits, substations, packaging lines, and a lot of concrete.
And it loops back to Claude on Azure without making the two stories identical. NVIDIA's announcement sells a governed path to Claude on specific hardware. South Korea's spending plan and the Virginia transaction explain why that path is scarce enough to sell.
Exactly. When a cloud says, come run this model here, it is also saying, we already did the painful reservation work. The model demo never shows that.
LangChain said Monday that deep agents now support dynamic subagents, and VLLM published a microagent post that puts bounded collaboration inside the model serving API. The shared builder idea isn't a smarter prompt. It is work decomposition with budgets and traces.
The VLLM post is the more concrete artifact. It describes a router where the user calls one model name VLLM SR Auto and the serving layer can choose a recipe behind that stable surface. It can fan out to workers and collect a quorum. Then it can verify disagreement, synthesize a final answer, repair the output contract, and return a normal OpenAI-compatible response.
That is a lot of machinery hidden behind a single call. Why is that better than just letting the application own the agent graph?
Because serving infrastructure already owns the pieces operators care about when a loop gets expensive or strange. The VLLM post names budget, topology, trace, and error policy. Those aren't decorative. If a planner can spawn workers, someone has to cap parallelism, set timeouts, decide what happens when synthesis fails, and record enough trace to debug the answer later.
The post gives several recipes. Confidence escalation is one. Ratings under a hard concurrency cap are another. It also describes repeated mixture of model reasoning, fusion through a judge and finalizer, and workflows with roles under a budget. The claim I like is testable. The loop should be chosen by task signals, not by one universal agent recipe.
Chuckle, the universal agent recipe is how you turn a 10-cent question into a dollar of spiritual exploration. The router version at least asks, is this task hard enough to spend more? Does it need disagreement? Does it need code execution? Does it need an output contract preserved?
The AI engineer skill building checklist points the same way from the instruction design side. Skills, subagents, routers, planners, and verifiers are all attempts to stop stuffing every behavior into one giant instruction block. Some of that belongs in prompts. Some belongs in runtime policy. Some belongs in tests.
And the burden of proof changes depending on where you put it. A prompt convention needs transcript review. A runtime policy needs observability. A router recipe needs evals and cost accounting. A coding agent model like Ornith needs runnable tasks, not just a release headline. I'm interested in the cluster because it is becoming more inspectable.
So this stays a builder interlude, not the lead. The day's bigger story is distribution and law. But for teams shipping agents, the practical direction is visible. Split work into bounded pieces, make the split inspectable, and keep the application from becoming the only place where policy exists.
That is also the bridge back to procurement. If Azure or another platform can sell not only a model but a governed agent workspace, then orchestration primitives become procurement features. A buyer can ask, where are the worker permissions, the traces, the caps, and the fallback behavior?
Meta reportedly used contractors posing as miners to test competitor chatbots on sensitive topics. While an agent security company raised a $64 million Series A, and an evaluation provider reported reaching $100 million in annual recurring revenue in 8 months.
I'd keep the first item tightly sourced. The meta detail comes through TechMeme's Wired Roundup, and I don't have the underlying Wired report open here. So the solid version is narrower. Competitor safety testing is now reported as corporate behavior, not only lab evaluation.
That is enough for a short segment. The market around safety is splitting into several jobs. One job is adversarial testing of other systems. Another is securing enterprise agents before they touch internal tools. A third is selling evaluation analytics to companies that need a score they can defend to executives, customers, or regulators.
The danger is confusing revenue with validity. A company hitting $100 million in annual recurring revenue tells you customers are buying the category. It doesn't prove the evals measure the property everyone hopes they measure. Same with a big security round. It proves demand and investor belief, not that the product catches the worst agent behaviors.
But procurement will treat the category as real because it has to. If a government agency or a bank buys agentic software, someone will ask how it was tested. They will ask who can see the traces, which actions require approval, and who takes responsibility when an agent does something outside the intended workflow.
Forbes has a background piece in the agenda on liability when an AI agent causes damage. I wouldn't make legal claims from that alone, but the operator version is straightforward. If an agent can spend money, change records, message customers, or trigger workflows, safety is no longer a statement in a launch post. It is a purchasing requirement.
And because it is a purchasing requirement, it will be competitive. Companies will test each other. Buyers will compare dashboards. Startups will sell assurance. The hard part is keeping those tests tied to the behavior that hurts users, not only to the metrics that make a slide look controlled.
My next evidence bar would be specific. Show me tests that map to permissions, tool calls, private data exposure, and recovery after a bad action. If the test only tells me the chatbot said the correct sentence in a synthetic conversation, it is a start, but it isn't enough for agent deployment.
National Design Studio released Rampart, a 14.7 megabyte browser-side model for redacting personal information before it reaches a server. Red Hat also says NASA Johnson Space Center researchers are testing Rama Llama for a local medical assistant that could work when communication with Earth is limited or unavailable.
That is a useful counterweight to the Azure story. Some AI gets more valuable when the data doesn't move. Rampart's source claim is small and practical, redact personal information in the browser before upload. The Red Hat post is larger, but it is still an edge inference story, not a cloud story.
Red Hat describes the Crew Medical Officer Digital Assistant as a clinical decision support system powered by Rama Llama for local inference. The post says the proof of concept moved from a cloud-dependent model toward a disconnected edge deployment. Running on HPE hardware, described as the terrestrial twin of the spaceborne computer aboard the International Space Station.
And Red Hat is careful with the claim. It says researchers are testing and that the system would be demonstrated to NASA leadership after terrestrial validation. So we shouldn't call that official adoption. The important detail is the design pressure. In deep space, the cloud isn't a reliability plan.
That pressure mirrors the privacy segment. If the data is sensitive enough or the connection uncertain enough, the best architecture may be local first. Not because local models beat frontier systems on every benchmark, but because the deployment constraint chooses the architecture.
For builders, that means the local model question is less romantic than it sometimes sounds. Can the model run inside the browser on the device or near the instrument? Can it redact before upload? Can it keep working offline? Can the operator audit the container, the model file, and the update path? Those are product questions.
So Monday gives us two opposite motions. Claude is moving deeper into clouds, contracts, and government purchasing. Small models are moving closer to the data, sometimes all the way into the browser or the edge device. The same privacy and procurement pressure is pushing in both directions.
And the architecture choice is no longer ideological. It is contractual, physical, and legal. If the buyer needs Azure controls, you meet them there. If the astronaut can't phone home, you bring the model with them. If the user's medical data shouldn't leave the browser, you make the first model tiny and local.
Monday's evidence leaves model access easier to buy and harder to separate from its surroundings. The surrounding pieces are concrete now. Warrants, data sale rules, memory fabs, leased buildings, router policies, eval markets, and small local models that keep sensitive data near the person who produced it.